of an announcement, real, as Pastor Peace makes his way up. Do these glasses belong to anyone, or are they? Okay, wonderful. Well, they were found, and we didn't want to step on them, so. All right, thank you, Brother
Peace. I was going to claim them. I think I need a backup pair of glasses. Amen. Are we happy to be here? Amen. You know, we are a family of God, and we come together and worship, and that's the way God's designed it for us to be, and I believe that we all have something in common. We're looking to the Savior. And so today, I want to preach a message called, There is a God in Heaven. If you'll open up your Bibles to Daniel chapter 2, verse 28. Well, actually, let's do this. Chapter 2, we'll start in verse number 24. And if you can able to stand this morning as we read God's Word, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll do alternate reading. I'll read the first verse, you read the second, and so on until we're done. Give me an amen when everyone's there. Amen. I heard one amen. Okay. I'll talk about that later. Let's read God's verse first, or his word. Therefore, Daniel went into Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, Destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then you read this verse. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? This is our key verse. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar that what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. Go ahead and read verse 29. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me by any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the day that you've given us today. An opportunity, Lord, to be in your house. Lord, help us to keep focused upon you, and Lord, help me not to say anything in my own power, but in your power. Lord, we love you so much. We just ask you to guide our thoughts and direct our ways. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, you'll have to forgive me. I just got back from a whirlwind trip to the Philippines, and I had the opportunity to preach at least 25 times in a 15-day period. I was ushered from church to church. I preached over probably 15 to 20 churches, and I'm a little jet lagged. I woke up at 2:00 in the morning this morning, and I've been up ever since. So if my eyes get droopy, don't worry, I'm not on drugs. If I start not making sense, have Brother Pat come up and slap me, and we'll make it through. But you know, the Philippines is a great place. You know, the heart of the people is really tender to the Word of God. And I don't know if you know much about the Philippines, but it's a Catholic-centered country. But they have something called the Baptist Day. So it's an annual holiday that they do, and they make note of the Baptist preachers that gave their lives to share the gospel with the Filipino people. And so it's really kind of an interesting thing. The pastors there had quite a bit of fun with me. I wanted to learn Tagalog, And they taught me two phrases. Well, the first one's very important for me. It's bogi oko, and then salamic, which says, I am handsome, thank you. That was very important. And the other one was darlinko, helinka, means my darling, come here. I don't know how I'm going to use that one, except for my wife, who, you know. But it's been great. It's been a wonderful trip. And we saw over 35 people get saved, and that is a blessing in itself. You know, the one thing that I've seen overseas or over there and here is that we're quite similar. They speak a different language. Praise the Lord, they speak English too. Their customs are a little different, but deep down, they worship the same way we do. They sing the same hymns, and they get saved the same way. And how important that is, and you know, when we say reaching the world, I felt it refreshing that there's pastors there that send missionaries from the Philippines. And what a blessing that was. But I had the opportunity to preach this message there in the Philippines because sometimes we get caught up in everything in this world. We forget that there is a God in heaven. And the God's very specific in what the Lord expects from us. And just some example verses, be holy for I am holy. That's what God told us to be. What does that mean? That means in our day-to-day life, we're to be holy before the Lord. Now listen, you cannot be holy unless you have a time and a place where you called upon the Savior. You know, they're really good about in the Philippines going to church. Everybody goes to church. But not every church has the truth. Not every church has salvation. And I really appreciated the churches that I was going to. They're independent fundamental Baptist churches, just like us. They preach the Word of God, they don't make apologies, and they tell you the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. You know, there's people telling you today a lot of ways to get to heaven, but I don't want to go to the heaven they're talking about. I want to go to the Bible's heaven. And knowing that, we must first believe that we're sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. To know that Jesus Christ died on an old rugged cross, perhaps my favorite verse, but God commendeth his love toward us, when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Man, and we didn't deserve any of that. And knowing that Jesus Christ died on the cross doesn't get us to heaven. I believe the Bible's pretty clear about this next step, because I think it's a preparation of the heart to kneel down before God and say, God, I'm sorry for my sins. Lord, forgive me of my sins. The Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. How important it is to be humble before God. To be humble before God. But the thing that saves you is this last part. Thou shalt call upon the name of the Lord. Thou shalt be saved. Call upon the name of the Lord. Thou shalt be saved. How does that look? It looks something like this. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Lord, I know you died on the cross. Lord, would you forgive me my sins and save me? You know, when somebody's drowning, they don't want you to give them a swimming lesson. They don't want you to encourage them. When someone's drowning, they want a life ring. And they're yelling out and calling for a life ring. That's how we should be calling for Jesus Christ, our Savior. We should be calling out to him because we need him. I couldn't imagine going through this world without Christ in here. And how important it is, remembering that there is a God in heaven. This morning we are looking at Daniel, and Daniel's talking about this in verse 28. It says, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. You know, it's interesting, he didn't say, well, in my vast knowledge, this is what your dreams mean. That's what the astrologers were trying to do. That's what all the mystics were trying to do. And listen, the fleshly things of this world do not have the answers. Only Jesus Christ has the answers for us today. And Daniel knew that there is a God in heaven that can answer the dream. Now remember, the king never told anyone this dream. And yet we see he interpreted it later on. I just have in my notes one of Daniel's great traits was humility. He didn't claim to be able to interpret the dream on his own, but he said, there is a God in heaven. This morning, I want to talk about our God in heaven. And there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. I believe that wholeheartedly. Now, let me just explain something to the Bible about the Bible. The Bible's the Word of God, amen? The Bible is true from cover to cover. There's only one way the Bible teaches we get to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You go through Jesus Christ. This Bible is true. The Bible says, even says every dot and every tittle. That's every mark, every exclamation point. It is true from cover to cover. And we sometimes just have to accept that. There are secrets in the Bible. The Bible calls it mystery. And it says this. It says what is a mystery sometimes just must remain a mystery. You know, we're talking about salvation. If I asked you to explain how Christ can dwell in us, could you tell me? I don't think so. We go by faith, don't we? That Christ, when we receive the, when we call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus comes into us, Holy Spirit abides in us, and the Bible says that, and we know that the Holy Spirit is designed there to teach us, to walk with us, and all those things, and that's why I said I can't imagine being without it. We don't know how it happens, but we know it does happen. And that's why when the Bible says we accept things by faith. How many of us, and we got some old-timers. I look at Brother Pat, man, I'll tell you what. He is an old-timer. But he never saw Christ die on an old rugged cross for us. He never did. And Brother Pat, you're saved, right? You accept it by faith, right? You didn't have to see Jesus Christ die on the cross for your sins. You accepted him in faith. Now we're getting kind of down to the brass tacks. Mysteries must remain a mystery. We must call upon the name of the Lord out of faith. And that's the only way to get to heaven. That's the only way that we can have a life with Christ. But he reveals secrets. I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8. I have some secrets that I wrote down. And you'll think some of these are kind of weird, but maybe they are. Maybe it's the jet lag again. But the first one, he revealed secrets of success. Everyone wants to be successful, right? Amen? I know that I had a friend of mine that had a business, and he was one of my members. He had a business, and he comes to me, and he says, every time I have a business, it flops. Every time I have a business, I don't see any success. It's just an upward thing, but I keep trying and keep trying. That's what the world says. I said, this time, let's try something different. Let's dedicate your business to God first. And everything you do in the name of the Lord. And everything you do it the right way. And everything you do is if Christ is standing right next to you. And you do the business up, you make it so it's a good business, and you're doing the right thing all the time. And you make sure that you give God his due of that business. And he did that. I remember one time he came running in my office. He says, you wouldn't believe this. And I said, yeah, I probably would. He says, my business is booming. I got people knocking at my door wanting to thing. I said, and he even, the very first day of this business, he said, this new business, he was building decks, and he came in and he said, would you pray with me at the business and just pray over it? I said, I'd be happy to do that. And God touched that business. I believe that. And he had good success. And why is it? Because he dedicated it to the Lord first. You know, as a pastor, I had to learn to dedicate everything I have to the Lord. I remember when we bought our last house, we prayed about it. We couldn't find a place to live, and we ended up buying this house that used to be a church. That's appropriate for a pastor, right? And Miss Leah, you've been there, haven't you? Yeah. A great house, beautiful house. I remember the first time when I went with my wife and we were looking at it. It had been abandoned for about a year. The windows were broke out. There was graffiti all over the place. The porch was uneven. And yet Kim and I knew, my wife and I knew, that this was the house that God had for us. And I remember bringing the whole family, and we gathered on the front porch and we said, Lord, can you bless this house? Lord, can we use this to your glory, not ours? But to your glory. Lord, we give this to you first. amazing what God did. You know, we had to fix things little by little because we don't have a lot of money. We fixed the porch, found out the foundation was bad. Had to float the house. I've never done that before, but had to float a house and put a new foundation under part of it. And I'll tell you, it was one of the most fondest memories of the houses that we've ever owned was there. We had a missions apartment there that was a cabin. We called it the cabin. And we've helped many people with giving them free rent in that cabin. And why? You said, well, you could have made money off that. No, I gave it to the Lord. And the Lord brought people that needed a place to live. So we let them live there. And I'll tell you this, giving it to the Lord, God gives back to you. And the reason I'm saying this, if you want good success, then perhaps you should be focused on the Lord and give it to God first. It doesn't matter if it's a business. It doesn't matter if it's a house. Doesn't matter if it's a car. You give it to God first. And then let Him give it back to you. How important that is, I believe, in Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8, we see the secrets that of success. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. To meditate simply means to think upon day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Put God first in your life, folks. And that means in everything we do. Put God first. You know, I've had people criticize me. This is bothering me. I'll put it with the other babies. I just want to grab it and start sucking on it. Put God first in your life, period. Doesn't matter your age. You can have young people, older people. It does not matter. God needs to be number one. And if you want good success, you give it to the Lord first. How important that is. The second one, he reveals the secret of stardom. You know, one thing about the Philippines is everyone wants to be in the movies, and it's weird. They look at Korea, and Koreans, we had exposure to Koreans. There's no Koreans in here. There are, well, you're an exception, brother. You're an exception. But the Filipinos idolize the Koreans, the South Koreans. I had to make sure, it's South or North? Which one do you want to do? But they idolize them. Why is that? Well, they come in glamorous. And I got to meet quite a few Koreans, and they all were like this. And you know what? I was like, that's not the stardom I'm talking about. You know, let's turn to Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. It says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as stars forever and ever. You want to be a star? Do what the Word of God says. Shine through. The cool part, I don't remember if the last time, I think I did tell you, but I'm going to tell you again because we got new people. The moon is beautiful. Right before I left, well, maybe I didn't, but right before I left, there was a guy that was parked in our parking lot at our church, and of course, people get really nervous when that happens, and he was on his hood, and it looked like he was taking pictures of our bus, and of course, some ladies came in and says, oh, blah, 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 and some guys came in, blah. They're kind of freaked out about it, so I walk out there, and sure enough, there's a guy laying on his hood of his car with a really powerful camera, and it looked like he was taking pictures of the bus. And I walked up and I said, can I help you? And he looked at me, he just said, the moon. And I looked past the bus, and the moon was the biggest I've ever seen, the moon. And he's taking pictures, and he says, come here. And I walk over, and he shows me these pictures he's taken. He's taking pictures of the craters on the moon. That's how big it was and how bright it shines. And then I thought, well, that's the way God wants us to be. God wants us to be that light on a hilltop. God wants us to be the light in a city. He wants us to be bright. And then it occurred to me, the moon is not bright on its own. It must have sun. And we as Christians cannot be bright on our own. We must have Jesus Christ, and we are to reflect Jesus Christ to the world. And listen, as spectacular as that is, it doesn't compare to a Christian reflecting Jesus Christ. In everything we do. You know, the epiphany I had with this message is that God doesn't just want it on Sundays. He doesn't want us to give everything to Him on Sundays. He wants it every single day. He doesn't want us to shine the brightest on Sundays. He wants it on Monday when you go to work. He wants it on Tuesday when you're with your family. He wants you to show Jesus Christ all the time. And you're to be this bright light that's reflecting the light of Christ. Man, it's awesome. And then he reveals the secret of sin. I struggled when I wrote this because there is a secret of sin. And God reveals that to us. You say, well, I don't understand. Well, think of it this way. Brother Steele, where'd you go? Come up here for a second. Couldn't hide. Come on in here. He's going in the closet. Let's just pretend Brother Steele's a Christian. I'm not God, but relationship. We just pretend that, okay? Sometimes we have a bit of a barrier between us. You know what that barrier between a Christian and God is? Sin. That barrier is there. Now, I can talk really bad about Brother Steele. And I can say things to, well, hopefully, yeah, he can't hear. And I can talk bad about him and all those things, but I can't communicate with him because there's a barrier between us. As a Christian, we have that with God. Sometimes sin comes in our life and it becomes a mountain between us and God. You say, well, wait a minute. God, no, I better let him back in. God knows everything. You just missed him. Oh, he's sleeping. Get up. Sometimes we allow a mountain between us and God. You say, well, God can see over that mountain. Praise the Lord, he is. But what God can't do is God cannot look upon sin. That's why Christ has to reside in us, because when God sees us, he doesn't see poor, pathetic Scott Peets. He sees Jesus Christ in us. But sometimes our sin can be a block, and that relationship, it wouldn't be as close as it could be. All right, everybody bow your heads. We're going to pray for Brother Pat right now. Lord, you worked on the wrong thing. Oh. We are to remove the mountains, amen? We're to get rid of them in our life, just as we are to put everything before God, just as we're to put our belongings before the Lord, just our walk before God. We are to destroy sin that's in our life. The Bible says this. It says, flee from sin. And we are to run from that sin. We are to flee. I think I did this the last time I was here. If the building's on fire and somebody gets up and says, patiently walk to the exits, the building's on fire and we're all going to die. Doesn't make sense, does it? Is there a sense of urgency? No. You think that maybe someone dropped a match out there or something. When somebody has to flee, it's like this. The building's on fire. Everyone out. Run, run, run. Because there's a sense of urgency. We have to flee. The building is burning around us. In our Christian walk, that's the way the Bible describes sin. When we see sin, we don't pay it mind. We run from it. And think about this. Just think about this. What are the sins that we have in our life? Well, perhaps we have the sin of anger. That's one I had to deal with a lot. I still deal with the sin of anger. That's a sin. And I have to flee from that sometimes. You know how many times I get ready to lose my temper and God convicts me right there on the spot? And the only thing I can think of is drop down to my knees and say, God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. Lord, it's just this flesh is so weak. You called me not to sin, and I'm here I am trying to reflect your light, and I just ruined it by yelling at somebody. That's a mountain for me. It's a mountain I have to remove in my life. But we're each different, aren't we? We each have our own mountains. And those mountains aren't mountains of righteousness. Wouldn't that be great if they were? But they're mountains of sin that we need to get rid of. We need to figure out what they are and how to get rid of it, and then we need to flee from it. We need to run away from it. See, there is a God in heaven, first, that reveals secrets, but secondly, I love this one, there's a God in heaven who reaches sinners. Remember the verse I told you about, Romans chapter 5, verse number 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Well, I'll tell you, I should hear a bunch of amens after that. Because we were pitiful sinners, we don't deserve Jesus Christ, and he did it because he loved us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. A promise God made us. A promise that can you remember when you got saved? And if you haven't, if you haven't ever accepted Christ, just hold on for a second. But if you're here this morning, can you remember when you got saved? Can you remember the excitement that you had? Can you remember that you just wanted to tell the world you got saved? Just tell them how good God is. You know, it didn't matter about the sins of the past because you, for the first time in your life, you understood that God forgives those. God doesn't care about what we used to do. God doesn't even care really about what we're going to do. He cares about what you're doing right now. Salvation is so wonderful, and one thing that caused when you get saved, your heart just gets full of joy. You know, that is about a walk with God, that God brings great joy in a Christian walk. And I'm so happy that Jesus Christ cared for sinners so much that he came down in flesh. He came down in flesh and dwelt among us. Can you imagine how totally awesome that is? I think, Brother Steele, you're rubbing off on me. But you know how totally awesome that is? That Jesus Christ came in the flesh. In the flesh. And why did he do that? Well, I think he did it for several reasons. One, he did it because his Father told him. But two, he did it as an example for us to follow too, because Jesus Christ went through his whole ministry, his whole life, and he never sinned. He was always righteous. Never sinned once. Much God as he was man, as much man as he was God. I don't understand that, Pastor Peace. Well, you don't have to. You just have to accept it. Accept it by faith. And how wonderful that is. John chapter 1, verse 1 and 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, and the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He came for our example. God in Christ was crucified for sinners. How many of us would be willing to crucify ourselves for somebody else that you don't even know? You know, it's interesting that there are people that need, you know, organs. Whatever the organ it is that they need, and they can't find donors because no one's willing to give it to them. And that some are special cases, and they just end up dying because no one cared enough to donate something. And, you know, that's something that Christ did for us before he even knew us. He died for us. He didn't just give us his organs. Gave us all of it. A wonderful place, heaven. I was just thinking of the other day I was preaching a message. It just hit me how wonderful heaven is. How wonderful heaven is. And how what a great place heaven is to go. And I'll tell you, once you receive Jesus Christ, I love that Christ said, I go to prepare a mansion for you. That's the master carpenter is preparing something for me. Well, what's that going to look like, Pastor Peace? I don't know. and I don't care. And I'm going to tell you, in heaven, we're not going to care either, because we're going to be with the Savior. We're going to see the Savior, and we're going to be able to walk with Him. We're going to be able to talk with Him, and we're going to have God's glory light up heaven, and it's going to be a beautiful, glorious sight, and God's going to light heaven, and we're going to be free from sickness, free from pain. We're going to be with the Lord, and we're going to have the heart that is not going to be a heart that's filled with hate or anguish or anything like that. We're going to have a heart that just wants to take off this crown that we've earned on this earth and lay it at Jesus' feet. And so I believe singing with the angels, holy, 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 because God is holy and God is worthy. And He was the Lamb that was slain. Heaven's going to be awesome. The marriage supper of the Lamb sitting down. I don't know what the food's going to be like, but I guarantee you're going to love it. Last night, my son-in-law, who doesn't really want to go out to eat ever, I'm usually the one that always likes to go out to eat, but my son-in-law calls us up, let's all go to Maine Chinese. That's my favorite place to eat, because they have peanut chicken. Oh, man. I go three times, but knowing that seven is the number of completion, I try to do seven times, but I usually go three times, and I load up every single time, and for that point, I just think, man, this is the greatest thing. Now, after I'm done with my third dish, I'm thinking, oh, I'm sick, but I enjoy the food. That's nothing compared to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I don't know what it's going to be like, but I'll guarantee you it's going to be good, because only the best is what Christ is going to give us. Doesn't that make sense, that when we're on earth, we're supposed to give Him our best? Not leftovers, but our best. God in Christ was crucified for sinners. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Oh, the Bible can be so poetic sometimes. God converts sinners today, and I'm thankful for this, because, you know, we look back in the Bible times, and just knowing that even the Old Testament saints, the way they came to know Jesus Christ is something similar. The Bible says no man comes to the Father but through Christ, right, by Him. And so we understand even the Old Testament saints had to go through Christ to get to heaven. And Sheol, and I could tell you the history of Sheol, and we understand how Lazarus describes the gulf that's there, and the Bible describes all that, but we know that even the Old Testament saints, I believe they had to have a salvation through Jesus Christ. Because they're men, are they not? And the Bible's true cover to cover. I'm thankful that through history we get saved the same way. We didn't have to modernize it. We don't have to change it. The Bible's very explicit about how we get saved. I'm thankful that you go to the Philippines, and you know, this is my second time of going to the Philippines. I love the food, and I got sick this time. So that was miserable. Yes, I got sick, and then guess what I had to do? Preach three times that day. And when I hit the evening service, I could barely stand up. I was so exhausted. But, you know, their culture's different. Everything's different in the Philippines. But they get saved the same way as you and I. You look through history, they got saved the same way. You and I, the same thing that I made God a promise a long time ago that every message I gave, there'd be a clear plan of salvation. And why is that? Because there could be someone that doesn't know Christ. And look at it this way, even if they did know Jesus Christ, they could benefit from learning how to witness and tell someone else how to receive Jesus Christ. And I've made that commitment. I don't know if you've noticed, every time I preach, I've gained the same plan of salvation. I know some people say, oh, here we go again, Pastor Peace. Get on with your message. No, I'm not going to leave out the most important part. And the most important part is salvation. There is a God that converts sinners today. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. God still has a plan today. You know, I'm just going to tell you this since most people are here. You missed a great Sunday school class. You really should be here for that. I mean, they were talking about marriage and divorce and those things. And can I tell you that although sometimes those topics can be really hard, we should always know the biblical answer for those and how to give a biblical answer. And what a blessing it was. Here I am, a pastor from another church, and I enjoy sitting in the Sunday school class. I was a little late today. But I enjoy sitting in it because I enjoy hearing how other people teach the Word of God, and they don't make apologies for it, and they cover the hard topics that are hard to deal with. But those are topics that we need to have the biblical answer to. But I am thankful for God caring about sinners today. You know, this next one, there is a God in heaven who revives saints. Do you need to be revived today? You know, that term revival comes out, and boy, I tell you, we're all excited about revival. We're praying for a revival. We're praying for all of Centralia to be saved, and people giving up their wicked ways and seeking the Lord, and we're praying for our nation to do the same thing. But revival doesn't start in Centralia. Revival doesn't start in our nation. Revival starts in you individually. You want this church to be in revival, then everyone get themselves right with God. Everybody. Start thinking about where the Lord is in your life. Is he number five or is he number one like he should be? Habakkuk chapter 3, verse number 2, it says, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. Remember, you know, that's one of the reasons I wanted to talk about when you first got saved. Do you remember what that was like? Dig into that excitement. Dig into that excitement of doing things for the Lord. Wake up every morning, not, oh, I got to go to work. Wake up every morning and say, God, use me in a great and mighty way today. Lord, I can't wait to get in your word. I can't wait to read. You know, it's funny, going to the Philippines, I lost a day. I lost one whole day. I don't know where it went, but I left on Thursday, and I got there on Saturday, and it's a 14-hour trip. Now, I'm not great at math, but you do the math. It doesn't add up. I lost a day, and I'm like, man, this is just crazy. I feel like, you know, being at age 60, I can't afford to lose too many days. I wanted to be added to, not taken away. But can I tell you that my Bible reading tracks, and all of a sudden I looked down and I said, whoa, 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 wait a minute. What happened to Friday? And I got convicted right there and then. I said, you know what? I better do double time because I'm not missing a day of being in God's Word. I'm not missing a day of spending time with my Savior. And you know what? If today's Saturday, then I'm going to spend double time. I'm going to get alone with God more now than ever and pray, Lord, don't do that to me again. It's hard to lose a day. But can I tell you that we should be putting every day before the Lord? And not just things, not just our items, not just the tithe, not just those things, but literally putting ourselves before the Lord. If we want revival, we need to have that saying that, Lord, I heard what you said in the Word of God, I'm going to allow it to affect me, and I'm going to walk in your light. Remember that reflection. God sees the response of God's people to His Word and in His Spirit. Turn to Isaiah 57, verse 15. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. For thus saith the High and Lofty One, that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and the holy place with him also that is of contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. God sees us no matter what. You know, that should humble you, because sometimes we think we can hide things from God. Oh, you can. You know, if you were a member of my church, or if I was a pastor here, I guarantee you one thing, you could hide stuff from me. I'm kind of a take your word for it. You know, if I walk up and say, are you reading your Bible? You say yes, I say, praise God. I'm not going to drill you on it. I'm not, you said it, praise God, I just accept. It's easy to hide things from me. I think that's the hardest thing, though, when someone falls because they're not being as close to God as they should. And it affects me even worse, because I'm thinking, but they were reading their Bible, and they're not. But they're praying, and they're not. And they're putting one over on the pastor. And you know what? God didn't say that my job was to be a hallway monitor, to ask for your hallway pass every time you come to church, or to make you read your Bible. I can't make anyone do anything. I learned that a long time ago. I can pray for you. I can pray that God can convict you to do it, but the only one that can make themselves do it is you. You can put one over on me, but you can't put one over on God. God not only knows your thoughts, God not only sees your ways, but are you ready for this? God knows the intent of your heart. I mean, God knows about it before I actually do it. Yeah. I used to say, when somebody decides they're not going to church, I call it premeditated. It's true. Premeditated. Nothing really happens at the last minute. They start thinking of, what excuse can I use? Well, let's see. Last Sunday I used that I was sick, so probably he's not going to buy that one again. My daughter has the mumps. I'll go with that one. I never used that one. And so you're premeditated about why you aren't going to go be in God's house. And the pastor calls you. I call everybody that doesn't show up at church. I hopefully, preferably your pastor does that. But if you miss a time at church, I call you. And I say, hey, just, you know, worried about you. Make sure you're okay. You know, just you weren't here last Sunday. And I just want to encourage you to be in church. And I want to make sure you're fine. You didn't have a car accident on the way to church, did you? And no, we just didn't go. Or I like this one. We just lost track of time. Here it is, 7 o'clock, and we thought, well, we're going to miss the first 15 minutes. I guess we're going to miss it all. I don't care if you miss the singing. The preaching's the most important, amen? So premeditated. Let's not be that way with God, because God knows the intent of the heart. God knows you before you even do it, and he can see all those things. We can hide it from people, but we cannot hide it from God. You know, the revival of saints, God's requirement for revival is in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Turn there with me, if you will. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Perhaps one of my favorite verses here is this verse. I know I say that a lot about the Bible, but it's all good. Amen? 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. God's word says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. We have a lot of land that needs healing, amen? You know, where you guys are right now, I'm not going to say you're shepherdless, because you have a shepherd, but he's just not here. This is the most dangerous time for you as a church. And I'm just going to tell you that a lot of things can happen, because right now Satan can get in here and he can tear your church apart. So what do? We be of one mind. We be in one accord. We keep our eyes focused on God. We keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ. We seek after him and we walk towards him as a church. The way the church is running right now, and I'm not talking bad, I want you to understand. I understand the circumstances. But the way the church is running right now is not the way God designed it to run. And be careful. Because you have to keep your eyes focused on the Lord, and you have to walk with God closer now than you ever have. If you're not reading your Bible, get in it. Get in it and read it. If you're not praying for your church every day, start. Because here's what happens with Satan. He brings the word apathy. All of a sudden, you just don't care anymore. And you just don't care. You know, Sister Margaret, I don't know if there's a Sister Margaret here. That came to mind. Good, praise the Lord. Is having a problem and a meltdown. Well, you know what? There's people here that can help Sister Margaret. But Sister Margaret just needs to keep her eyes on the Lord. Sister Margaret needs to understand that we are a body. Amen? You're a body. You're a church family. And you need to function that way. And you need to lift each other up and see Christ in each other. And it doesn't matter. And please, the worst thing you can do is take charge. Don't do that. God has leadership already here that they're the ones that are supposed to take charge. So, enough of that. I'm not going to go any further on that. Then we see that the last part of that is God sends revival. Psalms 85:6 says, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" You know, the times that the children of Israel rejoiced in the Lord and started getting close with him was when he pulled them out of a tight situation. That's something we can do. There's strength in the congregation like this. So seek the Lord. Pray for revival. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that revival breaking out here in this church, wouldn't that be awesome? And you know what? You figure out revival in the church, share it with us. Tell us, because I'd love revival in our church. You know, and how you get right with God. And each person gets right with God. We start heading in the same direction. We start saying, praise God. God is good. We start looking at people in a different light. And fire comes to this congregation. This doesn't have to be a time where you kind of just hold on and go into survival mode. God can use you in a great and mighty way today. So let's get on that. And let's start praying for revival. And let's start worrying about how we can serve God even better. The last thing I have is there's a God in heaven who's returning soon. You know, there was a brother that brought up this morning about how people don't even want to get married anymore. That's what the world's teaching now. I can take you in Revelation, by the way, where it says that moms don't want to be mothers anymore. And relationships aren't relationships anymore. And how Satan's just watered down that time. Listen, I'm going to caution you, because I believe in this time that we need to start looking up. Because I believe Christ is coming soon. I believe when the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we that are alive shall rise meeting up in the sky, and how important that is. And boy, I'll tell you, I think Jesus Christ is coming soon. So get busy. Look for those things. Is it okay for us to look for signs? I believe it is of Christ coming. No man knows the time and place when Christ is coming. He's going to come as a thief in the night, as the Bible says. So since we don't know that, should we look for the signs of his coming? Absolutely. We should be prepared like Boy Scouts. How do we get prepared? By doing what Christ told us to do right now. What are those things? Well, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. What is that? It's this. And how can we follow this if we don't know it? If we don't read it? How can we do that? You know, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37 says, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry." It's going to be a return soon. There will be a personal return. Acts chapter 1, verse 11, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which was taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." So he's going to come down from heaven. And then there's a powerful resurrection. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." We see that that rapture is so very important, and it's going to happen. It's going to be there. And then we see it's also a particular rapture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17 says, "Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Then we see it's perpetual rejoicing. Revelation chapter 21, verse number 4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Oh, Christ is coming again. You know, this morning, are you thankful there's a God in heaven? This morning, are you thankful that he's one that reveals to you the things that you need to fix in your life? Reveals those secrets. Aren't you thankful there's a God in heaven that searches for sinners? Aren't you thankful there's a God in heaven that's coming soon? If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, today could be a day that changes your life. I'm going to ask Brother Steele to come up here in a second. And I'm going to pray, and we'll have a type of invitation. But, you know, today would be a good day to get right with God. Today would be a good day to walk with him and continue to walk with him. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the message that you've given me, Lord. I pray that you help us to remember there is a God in heaven. Lord, I pray that you help us to be able to seek after you in all things. Lord, part of a servant is to give up everything and just give it to you. Lord, I pray that you open up our minds and our hearts and our eyes to see that your way is always beneficial for us. Lord, as we have a time of invitation, Lord, I pray that you just watch over us. If there's somebody here that does not know you, I pray today they'd come to know you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. Brother Steele, what song?